It's that time of year again. Time to unpack the old decorations and trim the tree. Time to grab the scissors and tape to wrap and unwrap countless gifts. In our own special way, of course. And it just wouldn't be Christmas without those dreaded white elephant gift exchanges. It's that time of year we might go just a little bit overboard with the shopping. But what if this year we could go beyond the boxes to experience something even greater? What if we actually expected Jesus to show up? Unwrapping Christmas, finding the missing reason for the season.
Well, it's so good to see everybody here in the worship center, and we want to welcome those joining us online or over at our Westside campus. So glad that you are with us today as well. And today, I know, we're going to turn our attention towards Christmas, even though all the tryptophan from that Thanksgiving dinner probably hasn't completely gotten out of your body yet. But it is time. In fact, I'm kind of anxious to find out how many have already had the Christmas tree up. You say, whoa, all right, see, it's time. It's a good time to start a brand new series, an Advent series that's going to lead us up to Christmas, and it's called, as you already heard, Unwrapping Christmas, Finding the Missing Reason for the Season. And I just think, given our current circumstances that we find ourselves in, we might need this more than ever before, because I think it's going to be a Christmas season unlike any that we have ever had. There's going to be a lot of the normal, everyday, regular activities that are going to either look a lot different or may not even happen at all. And I think that could actually give us an opportunity for a more meaningful Advent season than ever before. Now, having said that, I've never really experienced what an Advent season is supposed to look like. And that's because for most of my life, I'd heard the term Advent, but never really understood what it meant. And so if you asked me to explain Advent back then, all I could tell you is it was something that we did in December leading up to Christmas. And my guess is that there could be other people out here today who haven't practiced Advent either. So today, I want to just begin by explaining what Advent is. And the term Advent is actually a Latin phrase that simply means to come. To come. Someone's coming. And we're getting ready, and it's not just anyone. Advent almost always refers to the arrival of someone very, very important. Now, if someone really is important is coming to visit you, what do? Well, you usually try to get ready. You do everything you can to be prepared. That's what some of you even did over this Thanksgiving holiday. Some of you maybe had some family who are very important to you coming over. And so you made sure you were ready. You went shopping. You cleaned the house. You got out the best dishes. You tried to prepare a perfect meal. You may have even dressed up a little bit. And so Advent is really based on two just very, very simple ideas. And the first idea is this: someone incredibly important is coming. They're coming. And because someone incredibly important is coming, the second principle is you're going to do everything you can to prepare. You want to be ready. You're going to prepare. And the purpose behind Advent and the Advent calendars that so many of you have seen is just so the fact that every day in the month of December, you can get ready for who's coming on December 25th. And so here's probably the most important question for all of us this Christmas. Who are you actually preparing for on December 25th? Now, this is church, of course, and so we all know the right answer, right? But if we were honest, I mean, really honest, I think for a lot of us in the past, our preparation may have looked like it was more towards maybe the decorations or the gatherings or the parties or our family or even Santa. But the true meaning of Christmas really is centered around just one thing: the birth of Jesus, the birth of Jesus. And we center it around that because the birth of Jesus marks an event that changed the course of human history forever. Now, most of the time, when we're anxious or interested to know some of the details of the birth of Christ, we likely turn to Matthew, the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, because they have some great descriptions. But John's Gospel also has a nativity narrative, and he describes Jesus' advent in kind of a unique way, and that's where we're going to start today. In John chapter 1, verse 14, here's what he says: "And the Word became flesh." Now, he'd already told us a little bit earlier that the Word was with God and was God, and that all things were created by Him. And so this is not just any ordinary coming. This is God coming in the flesh. And it says He made His dwelling among us. And we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, if you read the Bible or are familiar with it, you know that there's a lot of different translations of the Bible. There's also some paraphrases of the Bible. One of those is the Message. And I just kind of like how the Message says it. In John 1:14, it says, "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood." And that's really kind of what happened. God came to dwell among us. And at that moment, everything changed for humanity. Because up to that point in human history, mankind had always been trying to reach up to God. But now in this moment, God actually comes down to reach out to us and to show us who He really is through Jesus. Now, while most of us here, I'm pretty sure, are aware that Jesus is the reason for the season, all of us, including myself, often face a few challenges in the month of December to kind of get there. For one thing, December, hasn't it become one of the busiest and most chaotic months of the year? There's so much activity going on. I mean, between putting up the lights and shopping and what used to be crowded malls and White Elephant exchanges and work parties and family gatherings and plays and pageants and cooking and movies and candy, and for the ladies, binge watching Hallmark Christmas movies. I just know that because my wife Diane has been doing that for weeks now. Which is why it's totally possible, if we're not careful, to get to the end of December and realize you really didn't do anything to focus on the true meaning of Christmas. And then when you add to all that busyness, another factor is that our culture today is going to do almost nothing for us in the month of December to point us to Christ. The world actually is kind of working the opposite. It's working hard to try to remove any mention of Jesus at Christmas. There's a lot of employees where you go and shop now who aren't even allowed to say Merry Christmas. They have to say Happy Holidays, and you may be hard-pressed to find even a nativity set anywhere. Now, I just live not too far from the church over here off of Springcrest, and we're kind of blessed because one of the cul-de-sacs in our neighborhood, which is just a block away, their Christmas decorations would rival the Griswolds at Christmas. I mean, it is awesome. And for years, we have enjoyed, just down the street from us, one of the most amazing Christmas light displays. But every time I walk by there, I look and I look hard, and there's absolutely no sign of Jesus anywhere. Now, trying to remove Christ from Christmas is, as I think, just a little strange to me. And it's not just because I'm a pastor, but because I believe the Advent literally changed the world, and it's really kind of inarguable. Now, if you aren't a Christ follower, that may sound like a bit of an exaggeration, but here's just one, I think, really good example. Is it not true that we categorize all of human history based on the advent of Christ? We categorize history. BC stands for what? Before Christ. And literally, you can go to ancient history books and you can learn that Caesar Augustus was born in 63 BC. Now, AD stands for what? A lot of people think after death, but it actually stands for Anno Domini, which means the year of our Lord. And so Jesus' birth marked year one, which means that we are now living in the 2020th year of our Lord. That's amazing. I mean, the whole world actually marks time as before Christ and after Him. Now, of course, you know, in the last 30 years, historians have been trying to change and remove even Christ from that. They're trying to change it to BCE and CE, before Common Era and Common Era. But honestly, it doesn't matter if you change the letters, does it? I mean, you can certainly try to call it something different, but it will always be the birth of Jesus, which means that Muslims and Buddhists and agnostics and even atheists measure the history of the world based on the advent of Christ. And for good reason, folks, the advent of Christ was and is a big deal. I mean, it's a huge deal. And the Apostle Paul kind of summarizes how big of a deal it is, I think, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. He was talking about before Jesus came. He says, "Remember that at that time, you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of promise. And then it goes on, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That's a big deal. See, the advent of Christ changed everything. And so even if you're here today or online, you're not a Christ follower, there's incredible evidence that you should examine or at least investigate during the month of December concerning Jesus and his impact on this world. But isn't it true that for all of us, that unless you are incredibly intentional, you could easily miss Christ during the Christmas season? We are so busy doing so many different things. And so I just want to share with you a thought I'd like to challenge our church with this Christmas season. And here would be the thought. The birth of Jesus is too significant to acknowledge on just one day. I mean, we give it one day, which is good, but it's too significant just for one day. I mean, here's another example of how good it is. When Jesus came, or when he was getting ready to come, remember, God sent the angel Gabriel, an archangel. And here's what the archangel had to say about Jesus in Luke 1. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. And his kingdom will never end. So what I just want to say is, what if this year you decided to maybe reclaim Christmas for Christ, to make sure that your focus is on Christ, to make Christmas a lot less superficial and more about your Savior? Well, that's exactly what Advent is designed to do. Advent gives you over 3 weeks of preparation in the month of December to ensure that you're focused on Jesus. And just know, Advent doesn't have to be complicated or complex. It can actually be very simple. In fact, I think the more simple, the better. And yet it can still be very meaningful. And so let's just make sure, before we go on, that we're all on the same page with what Advent is about. Advent is a daily focus in December on the event that changed history and can also change your eternal destiny. That's what Advent is all about. Now, probably some of you are thinking to yourself, man, I would really enjoy being able to focus daily on Jesus leading up to Christmas. But in the midst of all the craziness around, I wouldn't really know how to do that. And that's where we would like to help this Advent season. First of all, I think there's a way for us every day to see Jesus in the month of December if you'll just look. And you just have to be on the lookout. And what I'd like to suggest you looking for is something that may catch you a little off guard, because it's not going to be the spectacular. I would encourage you to look for the plainly familiar, the stuff that is all around us. There's a lot of things in the month of December that have simply become rather ordinary and usual and common and maybe just a little bit too familiar. In the month of December, I think we're especially prone to miss Jesus because, honestly, we've kind of become desensitized. We can almost go through the drill. We know where the boxes are. We get them out. We put up the tree. We can almost do it like we're on autopilot, simply going through the motions, but kind of forgetting the wonder of Christmas. And it's not that hard for that to happen. For example, it was Friday, January 12th, 2007, when at 7:51 a.m., a young man in ordinary jeans, a t-shirt, and a ball cap took a violin out of its case and started to play in Washington, D.C.'s busiest subway terminal. And for the next 43 minutes, there were over 1,000 people who passed by as he played. Now, no one knew until the next day when the Washington Post ran the story that the violinist playing in regular clothes in a regular subway on a regular day was Joshua Bell. He was Joshua Bell. And he's widely known as one of the best musicians in the world. And he was playing one of the most expensive violins in the world, valued at $3.5 million. And just 3 days prior to this, he had sold out one of the largest theaters in Washington, D.C., with people paying from $100 to $1,000 a seat to listen to this gifted musician play the violin. Well, what the Washington Post wanted to know was, would people notice? Would they even notice? one of the finest classical musicians in the world, playing some of the most elegant music ever written on one of the most valuable violins ever made. Well, not right now, if you're here or online, but you can probably actually see the video still on YouTube sometime today if you want to watch. But of the 1,097 people that passed by that day, only 7 people even attempted to stop and listen. And one of them just happened to be a 3-year-old who paused for a moment and his mom grabbed him and pulled him along quickly. Well, what happened? You know what happened? Everyone was so busy and so hurried that they missed this amazing moment in the midst of everyday life. Now, honestly, isn't that kind of exactly like what happened that very first Christmas? Remember, God sent his son, the Savior of the world, and almost everyone missed it for a very similar reason. I mean, think about the story of Jesus. Joseph and Mary were as common and ordinary as you could imagine. And the setting that Jesus was born in was as mundane as possible. He was born in Bethlehem, which was kind of a nowhere city in that day. Today, it'd be like us hearing about something amazing happening out in Pumpkin Center, Colorado. You go, whoa, what could happen out there? And then Jesus wasn't born in a manger or in a mansion. He was actually born in a manger, which is the equivalent of a barn, stinky animals everywhere. And when kings were born back then, I mean, you would tell it from the rooftops. And while his birth was angelically announced, remember, it was proclaimed only to some lowly shepherds in a field nearby, it could be hard to make up a more common birth. And, you know, here's the Gospel of John tells us was a result of that in John 1:10. It says he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, it didn't recognize him. Almost everybody missed Jesus 2,000 years ago. You know, maybe not that much has changed in 2,000 years. We can get so busy with life that our Christmas celebration is about almost everything but Christ. So here's just what I'd like to suggest. To keep Christ in Christmas, try to see the familiar with new eyes. Just look at it a little bit differently. The common, the regular, the mundane, which includes, you know, some of the things that you started seeing in stores way back in September. I mean, so think about it. What are some of the most common, ordinary things that you see almost every day in the Christmas season? How about Christmas trees and ornaments and stars and gifts and candy canes and lights and angels and candles and the colors of red and green and white and gold, not to mention, of course, Buddy the Elf and mistletoe. And these are everywhere, really, aren't they, in December, and so common and familiar that we often don't give a second thought to why maybe all we do all this stuff at Christmas. But what if many of the things that we actually do at Christmas could point us back to Jesus? Well, minus maybe Buddy the Elf and mistletoe. Probably not going to point us to Jesus. What if so many of the familiar things that we do could point us back to the reason for the season? Now, you might be wondering, how in the world am I going to figure all that out? Well, folks, that's where this little Advent devotional book that we prepared for you comes into play. Because every day it takes a look at just one of the ordinary things about Christmas and provides a description about how it can point you to Jesus. It includes a scripture and an activity to go along with it if you would like. And if you're here in person today, you can pick one up right outside the worship center here. If you're joining us online, or even if you're here and you want to do it online, you can download it from our website, or you can use the new app that we just released. There's a picture up on the screen if you want to get that. We'll make it even easier if you want to download that and follow along. And each day in this devotion focuses on just one different aspect of the Christmas celebration and then draws our attention back to Jesus. For example, you'll read in there, and some of you probably know this already, that the candy cane just started as a simple sugar stick. And one day a pastor decided that he was going to shape it in the shape of a shepherd's hook, and then red stripes were added to represent the blood of Jesus. And that literally is one of the reasons why we have candy canes today. And I would just want to encourage our entire church family to just go through this devotional leading up to Christmas. It's a way for you to practice Advent and then try to daily prepare your hearts and minds to celebrate the day we remember an event that changed the world. Now, if you're a parent or a grandparent, this devotional would be good for you to do with your kids, with your family. If you live in a dorm or you have some roommates, I'd encourage you to pull them together and do it. And by practicing Advent, it could change maybe the entire month of December. We need that this year. Now, some of you may already have a regular Advent devotional you use. That's fine. The important thing is just to remember that Advent is a daily focus in December, to remind ourselves of what has often become the missing reason for the season, which is the coming of Christ. And so let me just say, the whole point of Advent season is to get yourself in a daily habit of remembering Jesus every day in December, instead of just on Christmas Day. And there's more at stake here, I think, than probably most of us even realize. There's a song that I just started hearing on the radio again already, and it has those words, "It's the most wonderful time of the year." But you know, it's not that way for a lot of people. And the challenge with Christmas is that Christmas can really sometimes be kind of like a magnifying glass. And if things are going good for you at Christmas, Christmas just kind of makes them better. But you know, if you're in a rough season of life, Christmas then can also magnify the pain and the hurt and the anxiety and the isolation that you're experiencing. And this Christmas, there may be some of you that are wondering, you know, if your marriage is going to make it. Or some of you maybe this last year have lost a loved one, and this is going to be your first Christmas without them. And some of you maybe have been struggling with some substance abuse or depression. And let me just say, if that's you, please listen carefully and walk yourself through this. You can change everything this Christmas by making sure Christ is the center, by everything you do in the month of December focusing on Christ. Because if you need to experience God's unfailing love and his faithfulness this Christmas, it's going to take weeding through all the busyness and the distractions of Christmas and focusing on Christ, choosing some time to intentionally focus on Jesus. But I would just say, if you'd be willing to do that, this could be maybe one of the most meaningful Christmases ever. So here's a simple takeaway. Takeaway for today. Just make this commitment. Today, this Christmas, I commit to practicing Advent by looking for the true meaning of Christmas in the common everyday that we're going to see every day. And to use this little Advent devotional booklet as a simple tool to help you focus your heart and your mind on Jesus, and then look for Christ in the everyday things. Now, you know, Christmas is a season where a lot of things seem to get out of balance. And I just want to close with this thought. And that is that remembering Jesus is what brings balance to the Christmas season. If you're like, wait, you know, I can't stand all that's going on, it's usually because you forgot about Christ or haven't kept him in the middle. And, you know, I would want to say, hopefully celebrating Christ's first Advent will help you remember that there is supposed to be a second Advent. Some of us are hoping that's coming soon, but Jesus came the first time as promised. And you know, a second Advent of Christ has also been promised. And Jesus was very clear about this as instructions. And when he left, he said, be ready, be ready. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, and he might not know you personally because you've never surrendered your life to him, then just like that young man today did, that might be a decision that you need to make, is to surrender your life to Christ. But let's make sure this Christmas we keep Christ at the center of it all. Let's pray. Father, all of us are getting ready for this incredible season that has been pretty familiar for so many years. And we know this year it's going to look different. It's going to look different because we're going to have some restrictions put on about what we can do and who we can be with and how we can celebrate. And I just pray as we move into this season that the power of what it was really about and what it represents, we would not lose sight of or understanding of or acknowledgement of our need of. So guide us, Father, through this Christmas season. Help us to see Christ all around us in some of the simple things that maybe we've forgotten about, so that we can draw close to you and you can draw close to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.